The apostles, we've seen and we'll see that they've had many great highs. They've seen great things happening. But then they're also followed by lows, the difficult times. They've had this up and down, highs and lows. And obviously, without the Holy Spirit, they would not have had the strength or the boldness to keep going. Last week we ended with a high. The people are coming from surrounding towns, bringing their sick and tormented to be healed. And that was on verse 16 is what we ended with last week. People were hearing the gospel message. People were coming to hear it from outside of Jerusalem, having further fulfillment in the Great Commission. But now we're about to see another low, another troubling moment. Let's begin reading out of Acts 5, looking at verse 17 and 18. Then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in public jail. We're clearly informed that the high priest and many of the members of the Sanhedrin, the Sadducees, they were filled with jealousy. The apostles were gaining so much respect of the people. People were believing in Jesus Christ. The high priest and those associated with him were jealous of what was going on. They were jealous that the people were following the apostles' teachings instead of their own. In verse 18, again, we see that the apostles were arrested. And the literal translation is that violent hands were laid on the apostles. That word arrested is really violent hands were laid on them. So we're seeing that the apostles were beaten and then put into jail. We saw pretty much the exact same thing with Peter and John just a few verses earlier. Now it's all the apostles. Let's read on verse 19. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. Another miracle in the freeing of the apostles from jail. And we've read about so many healings and deliverances already so far, and now we're seeing another miracle in the miraculous release out of jail. They were beaten, then jailed, and now they're released and told to go and share the message of Christ. I don't know about you, but I think I would have struggled here some. I know that if I go out and share the message again, that I'm probably going to get rearrested. I'm probably going to get beat up again. But they were told, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't change. Continue to do what you have been doing and share the message of Jesus Christ. Even if the punishment is going to be worse for continuing on. I've got a whole bunch of more scripture to start reading. I'll be reading the other half of verse 21. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles, But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked, with a guard standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were puzzled, wondering what would come of this. Then someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts, teaching the people." At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things. So is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." This is almost a repeat of what Peter and John went through not long ago, and they're again facing that Jewish high court, the Sanhedrin. But the question is still remaining. Whom will they obey, God or man? And it's made fairly clear here that they will definitely obey God. I have plenty of more scripture here. This is one of those stories that it's really good to read the whole thing. When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. So the Sanhedrin, after hearing that the apostles are not going to change, when they heard that, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed them, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed and all of his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone, let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." His speech persuaded them. Then they called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. Before the honored person Gamaliel made any comment, the court was ready to hand down a death sentence. Fairly similar to Jesus not long before this time. This highly regarded Pharisee named Gamaliel, he was really an influential person. And as I kind of looked in just a little bit about him, he wasn't just a rabbi, which means my teacher or my master. He wasn't just a rabbi. He was also called Rabban, which means our teacher or our master. In Jewish history, this man was only one of a total of seven that ever received such a title. He was influential. Later on in Acts chapter 22, the Apostle Paul even cites studying under this man, Gamaliel. So the Apostle Paul was influenced by this man as well. We see that there was a punishment handed down. We're told that the apostles were flogged. Well, what does that mean? It means that they were whipped with 39 lashes. Law prohibited any more than 40 lashes. So Jewish custom was they would only do 39 because, heaven forbid, they sin because of a miscount. So usually it was 39, but think of that. 39 lashes is still pretty severe punishment. And I think that the court had to hand that down in order for themselves to try and save face. Again, we see in this story that there was the downtime where they were jailed. Then there was the uptime, praise the Lord moment, where the angel releases them. Then there's the downtime where they're rearrested and flogged. But then another uptime that they're released and they continue to see God working miracles. How does this story really mesh with our life and in our daily life? How often are we a part of something great, and then there's a road bump or a low, and we immediately contemplate quitting? I have a couple examples here. Some may pertain to you, or you might be able to identify with them. But let's say, for example, a missionary who is in another country or in wherever he's ministering to. He isn't seeing much change. This missionary is not seeing people come to faith. In spite of the message being shared to many people, this missionary feels like quitting, even though God called him there. How about a leader in the church or a leader in a ministry outreach? You might see a tremendous high at some point, followed by a low or a road bump, which prompts thoughts of quitting. I've been able to get to know a number of pastors over the years. Even in seminary, I've gotten to know a number of people who have become pastors. But I know, as for a pastor, not necessarily looking at me, but I know as a generality, a pastor may see a great service, a great moving of the Holy Spirit, something that's just exciting, and then 2 days later, something happens, and there's a voice inside telling them they're doing a crummy job, or they're not making a difference, and the best thing to do is quit. I've seen a number of pastors go into churches for just a couple years, and they give it up because, for some reason, they decided they needed to quit. What about for us? Maybe you're one who has shared Jesus Christ with someone and it went well. Someone gave their life to Jesus because of that. And then you think, okay, I'll do it again. And the next person you share Jesus with responds very much differently, with anger or hatred. And you decide, you know what? I'm just never going to do that again. I'm just not going to share my faith anymore because I can't take that happening. So you quit. How about daily life, just going to church? Maybe you had a great experience yourself with God. You heard a great message, or you felt that the Lord was speaking to you on a particular Sunday. And then the next Sunday, you're offended, or someone says something that hurt your feelings. Maybe something challenged you. Boom. You're ready to quit. How about marriage? Married life is never filled with ups and downs, is it? Of course it is. Why is it that you can have a wonderful and a tremendous weekend or week with your spouse, and then Monday rolls around and you leave the wet towel on the floor, or leave a dirty sock on the table, or you forget to mention the check engine light that's been on for a week, and all of a sudden, thoughts of quitting the marriage come to mind? Parenting. If parenting were easy, there wouldn't be millions of books trying to help us to figure out and navigate how to parent. Some people have chosen to quit and miss out on the treasure that children are. How about life in general? For some, life may be seemingly going well and things are going just the way you'd hoped, and then a relationship fails, or a negative comment is geared toward you. Someone has deeply hurt you, and you start thinking, you know, I'm just going to quit on life through suicide. These are things that some of us have had thoughts on. Whether it be career-wise or following God, or whether it's just about life or different things in life. Maybe this message is somewhat connected to my previous one on feeling defeated, but the reality is that many things in life are filled with ups and with downs, filled with great times, exciting times, and then there's times it's filled with difficulties. Why? Because we live and breathe in a broken world, and much of that brokenness is right here. Much of that brokenness is in us. Some of the examples I gave before, you know, I realize there are times where missionaries are called to move on. There are times when ministers or church leaders are called to move to different places or different locations or to minister in different ways. We may also need to evaluate our methods for sharing Jesus. Certainly, we're not talking about quitting sharing Jesus. There are times when a spouse must make a difficult decision because of ongoing sin in the marriage, and parents may have to make difficult decisions in parenting, but we should never quit when facing difficulties. There's something about life issues that we face that correspond with the struggles that we see that the apostles had here. There are those times of ups and downs, and we're faced with listening to almost two different voices. There's the voice of God, kind of like the angel in the jail, saying, keep going. Keep up the work. Don't let the others, or don't let the governing authorities, or don't let the persecution stop you. Allow the Holy Spirit to strengthen you, to boldly carry on, whether struggling in parenting or struggling what you're doing. The Holy Spirit can strengthen you. Then there's the other voice, the one telling you to quit, to walk away, telling you to stop doing what God has called you to do. The voice telling you that maybe you're worthless and that there's nothing in life worth living for. This is the voice that comes from the father of lies. And all he wants is people to quit. He wants people willing to quit in spite of what God has and continues to do through us and in us. When you're doing what you know is right, or what God has called you to do, learn that voice. Sometimes it's not a loud one. It may be that still small voice saying, keep going. Keep doing it. Keep working at it. Identify the other voice that's telling you to quit and give up as being that from Satan, and don't give him the time of day. He isn't worth giving even a second. I know that this set of scripture, I could have talked a lot about other things. But to me, it's just one of those stories where you just see difficulty after difficulty after difficulty, the challenges and challenges, and yet they continued and stayed with the task that they knew they had to do, in spite of the difficulties. They could have looked at God and saying, you want us to spread the message, but we keep ending up getting beat up and we keep getting put in jail. God, I'm going to blame you for this. They could have been those people that just looked at God and blamed him for what happened and quit. But instead, they looked to him for the strength during those difficulties and praised him all along. God will strengthen you to new heights if you continue to look to him. Maybe he'll strengthen you enough that you can be like the apostles after they were whipped and released, that they still leave praising God in spite of the pain that they were feeling. Follow the voice of our Lord and Savior, and he will strengthen you, and he will carry you on in this life. Not that it won't be without struggles. We're all going to face struggles. But you will be able to walk through them and come out victorious. Be strong and courageous. That's a phrase that we've seen time and time again in the Old Testament. Be strong and courageous. And that's what I'm asking you all to do here today. Be strong and courageous. Look to Christ, and you will be victorious despite whatever's happening. You will be victorious.